Words on a Page, Keith Leckie. Scene 1. Interior. Classroom. Day. It is a sunny fall afternoon in Lenore's grade 10 English class. Sun rays through dust particles in the air. There are a dozen classmates, a mixture of white and native, listening as Lenore reads a story she has written.
So on that morning before she left, they went by canoe one last time to those favorite places. It was at first light when the water is a mirror and the trees are still, as if nature is holding her breath. And there was the beaver and the loon and the hawk circling above the treetops. And below, the trout and the sturgeon slipped silently through the black water. Creatures as powerful as the great moose, as small as a minnow. She and her father took their place among them. And in this world there was a peace and harmony that she knew, no matter how far she traveled, she would never find again. She understood now why her father had brought her here. She felt the morning sun on her face and the gentle rocking of the canoe and smiled because she knew that here would always be her home.
Lenore, that was beautiful. What did you think, class?
Oh, wow. That was great.
That was really good.
Wow. It was real sad.
It reminded me of, like, around Shadow River.
It was just like a book.
Okay.
I'm really very impressed, Lenore. Leave your story on my desk. There are some people I'd like to show it to.
Scene 2A. Exterior. Stream. Afternoon. The prow of a cedar canoe cuts through the calm water. Lenore and her father Pete in the stern are canoeing their way up a quiet stream. It is late in the afternoon. Shadows are lengthening, and the sunlight retains the shimmering intensity of this time of day as it filters through the autumn foliage.
Good here for beaver. Heavy willow growth. Lots of food.
Look, Baba. He's warning his friends about us.
You know that a long time ago the beaver only had a little skinny tail.
Oh, yeah?
You see, one day, Nanaboso was out paddling his big canoe. He's pretty lazy, so he decided if he gave the beaver a big paddle tail, he could tie them on the back and they would push his canoe. But once he had given the beaver a paddle tail, the beaver was too quick to catch. So he didn't get a chance to try it.
Do you think it would work?
Chimo and I tried it once.
Really?
Sure. Roped a couple 70-pound beavers on the back of this canoe.
What happened?
They chewed a hole in the canoe and we all sank and they got away. Yeah.
Serves you right.
Scene 2B. Exterior. Beaver Pond. Day. They canoe near a bubbling beaver dam with more beaver houses visible.
You said you had a dream to tell.
Yes. It's pretty simple, I guess. I'm standing in the woods. There's a raven flying just above my head. It hovers there. It has something to tell me. It wants to land, but it can't. It only hovers there. It never lands.
Sounds like a good dream. Can't tell you what it means. Maybe it isn't finished with you yet. You know, Chimo had the same dream for 5 nights in a row. He dreamed he was swimming underwater.
Yeah?
Every night, same thing, swimming underwater.
Yeah?
On the 6th day, he couldn't stand it anymore. He jumped into the lake, and no more dream. We'll go upstream to the next pond, then.
Baba, I...
What?
I've got all kinds of homework to do. We've got a lot of tests coming up.
Isn't it enough they have you all day at that school?
I'm sorry, Baba.
Never mind.
Scene 3. Exterior. Schoolyard. Day. It is lunch break at school. A number of students are sitting around on the grass and walls eating lunch. Some play volleyball nearby. Lenore is sitting on a bench reading some poetry to a classmate. Sadie, Lenore's sister, is listening in. Lenore reads with feeling from the book.
Up on the hill against the sky, a fir tree rocking its lullaby. Swings, swings, its emerald wings, swelling the song that my paddle sings.
That's neat.
Yeah, Pauline Johnson. She's a native poet who traveled all around these lakes almost 100 years ago. Must have been hard to get gas for her outboard then, eh?
Lenore, I've got some news for you. I sent your story into the district writing competitions. You have been accepted as a finalist. Next week, you go down to Thunder Bay to read your story to the judges. This is wonderful. If you do well there, they could send you to a special high school in the South, then maybe to study English at university.
University?
Well, let's see how Thunder Bay goes. We just need a letter of permission from your parents, and we're all set. I'm proud of you.
Nice going.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I just wonder what Baba is going to say.
Scene 4. Interior. Kitchen, Lenore's home. Evening. Lenore, Sadie, their mother Connie, and Pete are having fish dinner. Pete eats his food hungrily. Lenore looks up at him once, then again. Then she notices Sadie staring at her impatiently. Lenore glares at Sadie, and they both resume eating.
Good trout, eh? We caught them way north of Mulligan Bay. Cold and deep.
We should have enough in the freezer to last until Christmas.
The King of France never ate better than this.
Baba, Lenore has something to ask you.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've been doing some work at school.
Yeah, so?
You know, like writing. Anyway, the new teacher, Miss Walker, said I've been doing real well. And there was a story I wrote.
A what?
Well, a story. And they,
The story won a contest, and now she has to go to Thunder Bay to read it. And then they'll send her away to university.
Can't you shut up?
University?
Well, no, it's only if I win, but...
That's crazy. You're only a young girl. You can forget about going to Thunder Bay.
But I have to. I'm representing the school.
They can find someone else.
But they want my story.
Then send the story to Thunder Bay.
But I want to go.
Want and can are not always the same thing.
You never...
Lenore is about to continue her argument, but her mother is signaling her not to continue along these lines. Lenore stands up and quickly exits the kitchen. Scene 5. Interior. Classroom. Day. The classroom is empty except for Lenore standing at the front, and Miss Walker sitting at a desk several rows back. Lenore is practicing reading her story with a compelling intensity.
She found her father out behind the shed, laying the steaming cedar strips across the frame of a new canoe, his strong hands molding the soft wood. "Baba," she said, "why can't I visit Aunt Doreen for the summer? I'm not a child anymore. I want to ride a subway, Baba. I want to climb to the top of a skyscraper and see a museum and go to a play. I want to see the world." But her father turned away and would not look at her.
"Yes, go on."
"Can we stop now?"
"Sure, sure, that's fine. It's coming along really well, Lenore. Parents' night will be a good rehearsal for the finals. Is everything all right?"
"Yes, I'm just tired."
"Good. You get a good sleep. I'll see you tomorrow."
Lenore gives her a half-hearted smile and leaves the classroom. Miss Walker looks after her, wondering if there is anything wrong. Scene 6. Interior. Kitchen. Lenore's house. Day. Lenore comes into the kitchen, tosses down her books, and flops down at the table. Her mother is making bannock bread. They are alone. Her mother notices her unhappiness.
"How was school?"
"Okay. Actually, it was lousy. I just don't understand. Why won't he let me go?"
"He's afraid of what will happen to you."
"He wants to trap me."
"It might seem like that, but he believes he's protecting you."
"What am I going to do, Mom?"
He's stubborn. The harder you push, the more he digs in his heels. Do you remember the story of the sun and the wind? How they had a contest to see who could get the coat off a passing man? The wind blew as hard as he could, but the man held the coat on tightly. When the sun had his turn, he shone warm and bright, and the man just took off his coat.
I should be the sun?
Maybe you could read your story to him.
I have to read it on parents' night, but he'll never come.
Maybe this time, if you ask, he will.
You think so?
Maybe.
Scene 7. Exterior. Woods. Day. A small cedar tree crashes to the ground near the banks of the stream. Pete stands beside the stump, axe in hand. He wipes a sleeve across his sweating forehead, then quickly begins to trim the branches. With the smaller axe, Lenore competently trims the branches of another down cedar in the foreground. In the background, we see a sturdy lean-to, three quarters completed, large enough to sleep two or three people with provisions, side walls, open front, fire pit. Lenore lifts her 10-foot cedar pole, takes it to the structure, and fits it in place, resting on the center beam nailed between two trees. Pete is suddenly beside her and places his pole beside hers, which almost completes the superstructure of the roof. He smiles at her.
Now the tarp. A good layer of cedar boughs and one snowfall will make it warm and dry. Ron and I'll live here a week for trapping. What do you think? You want to come?
Where?
Out on the new trap line in November with Ron and me.
Yeah, but I've got school. But maybe I can get off for a couple of days.
You think about it.
Scene 8. Exterior. Rocky stream bed. Day. Lenore kneels down on a flat rock. Holding her hair back, she drinks from the surface of the black, bubbling stream. She looks up, satisfied, her face wet. She watches her father, who puts his face right down in the water and shakes his head, splashing and blowing bubbles. He looks up at her, and they both laugh, water dripping off their faces. Pete cups some water in his hand and brings it to his lips to drink. Lenore watches him a moment.
Sometimes I wish I could be a son for you, Baba.
A son?
Yes, I know every father wants a son.
I would like a son. Maybe someday. But the first time I saw you and you smiled at me, I wouldn't have traded you for 10 sons.
Baba?
Hmm.
Parents' night is on Wednesday.
Parents' night?
Yeah, I'm going to read something. Be real nice if you were there.
I don't have anything to say to those teachers.
You don't have to say anything.
And we're fishing next day. We'll be outfitting the boat.
Just for a little while? Maybe? Please?
Okay. I'm not promising, but I'll try.
Scene 9. Exterior. Open sky. Dream. Day. In slow motion against a blue sky background, a single bird hovers. After a moment, it is joined by other birds. 2, 3, 4. It is not a threatening image. The motion is beautiful to watch. The sound of wings becomes steadily louder. Scene 10A. Interior. Lenore's bedroom. Night. Lenore, with a little gasp, suddenly sits up in bed, staring out in front of her. Her tense body relaxes. She thinks for a moment about the images of the dream. She lies down again and rolls over. She smiles with excitement and anticipation. Scene 10B. Exterior. Spirit Bay Docks. Late day. A pickup truck stops beside the docks. Pete is waiting. The driver gets out and opens the tailgate.
Got your new nets, Pete.
Hey, they don't have floats.
See? Nothing about floats.
Pete looks at the bill. The driver looks at him and turns the bill right side up for him to read. Pete glances at it and stuffs it into his pocket.
It's gonna take me all night to sew floats on these nets.
You want them or not?
Pete nods. The driver drops the last net on the ground, gets back in the truck and drives off. As the truck drives away, Pete checks his watch, looks unhappy, then carries the first bundle toward the boat. Scene 11. Interior. School auditorium. Evening. It's parents' night in the small auditorium. There are about 24 parents present, native and white. Tables display artwork of various kinds and highly graded tests and essays. There is a coffee and pastry table where parents stand in small groups, talking with 4 or 5 teachers. There is a podium at the front of the auditorium. Lenore stands near it, anxiously watching the doorway, holding the pages of her story.
Betcha he doesn't come.
He'll come.
Hi, Lenore. Are you ready?
I think so.
You'll do great. Are your parents here yet? I was looking forward to meeting them.
They'll be here any minute.
Good evening, and welcome to the first Parents' Night of the Year at Nipigon District Junior High School. Glad you could come out. In a moment, I'll ask one of our students to come up and read a prize-winning story she's written.
Wait,
but
I can't
first,
do it
I would
yet.
Like to say
Don't
a few
worry,
words
I'll stall
about
him if necessary. Mr. Crakers goes
year.
On forever anyway.
Never before has there been such an abundance of information and communication in our world. It is almost overwhelming when you consider it. In the face of this, a sound education has never been more important. And so, our goal will remain a high standard of academic achievement and individual excellence in all our endeavors. We are deeply aware of our responsibility here at Beardmore to mold the bright minds of young men and women who will, in a few short years, forge the destiny of our world.
Connie comes through the door into the auditorium. She is alone. Lenore watches her. Connie stops, looks around the room, and sees Lenore. She looks at her and shakes her head sadly. Pete is not coming. Lenore appears as if she's about to cry. Sadie takes this all in.
So now, let me introduce one of those bright young minds to read her story that has been selected for the finals of the district writing competition, Lenore Green.
I'm not going to do it.
What?
Why bother?
The applause dies out. The principal and all others are looking expectantly at Lenore. With story in hand, Lenore turns and exits the auditorium. There are whispered comments in the audience of parents. Miss Walker quickly follows Lenore. Scene 12. Interior. Hallway, school. Evening. The hallway is deserted. Lenore walks determinedly away from the auditorium. Miss Walker comes out the door and calls after her.
Lenore! Lenore! What's wrong? I don't understand.
I don't want to read my story, and I don't want to go to Thunder Bay.
But, Lenore, this is a great opportunity. This is the first big step in your career.
What career?
You could do anything. Go to university, become a journalist, or an English professor, or a playwright. You've been given a talent. You can't turn your back on it.
It's only a stupid story. I'm sorry I even wrote it.
Lenore throws the story down on the floor, turns, and walks away. After a beat, Miss Walker reaches down and picks up the spilled pages. She looks at them, then watches Lenore walking away from her. Scene 13A. Interior. Classroom. Morning. Miss Walker is sitting at her desk, marking tests in the empty classroom. She works quickly for a moment, but then her momentum slows. Her eyes leave her work, and, brows knitted, she begins to think again about Lenore. She can't figure it out. Sadie and Connie enter the room behind her. Connie is intimidated by a woman of her own generation with a university education. She looks uncomfortably around the room.
Miss Walker?
Hi, Sadie. And Mrs. Green, how are you?
There is something you should know. Lenora loves to write more than anything, and she wants to go to Thunder Bay. But my husband, he won't let her.
Baba doesn't believe in schools and books and stuff.
I see. Please, sit.
Scene 13B. Exterior. Spirit Bay Docks. Afternoon. Pete is unloading his catch after a good day's fishing. He's on the dock. The crewman hands him a tub full of ice and fish from the deck on the boat. There are several tubs on the dock.
Oh! The only trouble with a good catch is it's bad for my back.
The crewman laughs. Pete lifts the tub of fish and walks a few steps to the other tubs when he notices Lenore. Lenore stands, with school books, at the far end of the dock watching Pete from a distance. Other students pass by, behind her on their way home. Lenore and Pete look at each other a moment. Pete puts the tub down with the others, and wiping his hands with a rag, takes a step toward her. Lenore turns and quickly walks away. Pete stops and watches her, feeling bad. Scene 14. Interior. Classroom. Afternoon. Connie and Sadie are talking to Miss Walker. Connie is more relaxed now. She is reflective.
When I was Lenore's age, I was real good at school, too. Top of my class. I might have gone on to university, even. But I couldn't decide. And then I met Pete. I want this for Lenore.
So do I.
We're having a roast Sunday. Why don't you come by?
Good, I will.
Scene 15. Exterior. Lenore's house. Day. A car and a pickup truck are parked outside. Scene 16. Interior. Kitchen. Lenore's house. Day. The table is nicely laid out with flowers and a bright plastic tablecloth, and a variety of food. Fish, slices of mousse, potatoes and other vegetables, and bannock bread. Miss Walker sits at one end of the table, Pete at the other. Sadie and Connie sit on one side, Lenore on the other. Lenore is very quiet. She is angry at her father and embarrassed by Miss Walker being there. She is uncomfortable to be at the table with both of them. Miss Walker takes a platter of meat from Lenore.
Thanks, Lenore. And we're getting in a new portable classroom and adding to the library. And what I'm hoping for by the end of the year is a computer terminal for the students to use.
Pass the mousse.
One thing I'm excited about, and Mr. Crankhurst seems open to it, is an Ojibwa studies course.
Ojibwa studies?
Yes, the language and customs and history.
Like one of them dead civilizations in a museum.
No, not at all. In fact, you trap and fish. Maybe you'd come in and give demonstrations of your expertise.
Expertise? If you get paid by the word, that's a $10 one for sure.
I can see you don't think much of education, but it can give all kinds of things to a girl like Lenore.
You mean like a one-way ticket out of here?
Have you read this?
No.
Well, I think you should read it.
I will. Later.
Well, read it now. Just the first page.
No.
Well, if you don't care enough to even read...
You saying I don't care about my daughter?
She has talent and imagination and desire. You can't imprison her here.
Prison?
There's a whole world waiting for her out there.
In that world, she'll be an outsider. She'll be alone and unhappy and forget who she is.
You don't know who I am. Neither of you. No one even cares what I want.
Lenore turns away and exits the house. Pete and Miss Walker look at each other, now sorry that they have been so insensitive. Scene 17. Exterior. End of dock. Sunset Lodge. Day. Lenore crouches on the end of the dock. She looks down at her reflection in the black water. She holds out a pebble and lets it drop into the reflection. When it clears a moment later, her father's reflection can be seen behind. He stands there a moment.
Why won't you read my story?
Because I can't. I never learned to read so good. You never knew, eh? When I went to school, there was a teacher. If I didn't learn my lessons or talked Indian, he'd beat me with a switch and call me names. One day I took the switch away from him and never went back. Never been in school since.
Come for a walk?
Scene 18A. Exterior. Spirit Bay Field. Day. Pete and Lenore walk side by side on the edge of the lake. They walk in silence for a moment.
I'm afraid. Afraid that you'll go away and become a stranger to us.
How could I do that?
If you go south to school, it's very different there.
Scene 18B. Exterior. Spirit Bay Road. Day.
I'll always be Anishinaabe, Baba. And Spirit Bay is my home.
Others have said that and not come back.
I'll come back. I want to learn to write better so I can live here and tell about our people. That's why I want to write.
Scene 19. Exterior. Dreamer's Rock. Afternoon. Pete and Lenore sit atop Dreamer's Rock, facing the lake that stretches out before them to the horizon. The village can be seen below, and distant islands in the lake.
I've been waiting to tell you the last of the dreams. The dreams of the bird that wants to land.
Yes. Is it finished?
It's finished.
How did it end?
Remember I told you the bird was hovering and trying to land? Well, then each night there were more birds. A few, and then dozens, then hundreds of birds. And there was a wide open field of snow. And there they began to land black against the white snow.
They all landed?
Yes, and as each bird landed, it became a letter, and the snow was like a page, and the bird letters formed words, and the words sentences. They were my words, Baba. They were the words I wrote.
Sounds like you were meant to be a writer. I won't stop you.
But I need more, Baba. I don't know if I can do it alone. I need your help.
My help? I can't even read.
Not that kind. I need your courage. Will you come to Thunder Bay and hear me read my story?
At the university? I'll come.
Scene 20A. Exterior. Lakehead University. Day. Establishing shot of university with an identifying sign. Scene 20B. Interior. University. Day. Pete, Lenore, Sadie, Connie, and Miss Walker approach a man in a suit outside the lecture room doors. Pete looks around uncomfortably.
Is this the district writing finals?
Yes, they're about to begin.
I don't think...
Read it to me. Just to me.
Scene 21. Lecture Hall. Day. The lecture hall is quite full of people. A panel of six judges sits at a table at the front, listening as Lenore reads her story.
So on that morning before she left, they went by canoe one last time to those favorite places. It was at first light when the water is a mirror and the trees are still, as if nature is holding her breath. And there was the beaver and the loon and the hawk circling above the treetops, and below the trout and the sturgeon slipped silently through the black water. Creatures as powerful as the great moose, as small as the minnow, she and her father took their place among them. And in this world, there was a peace and harmony that she knew no matter how far she traveled, she would never find again. She understood now why her father had brought her here. She felt the morning sun on her face and the gentle rocking of the canoe and smiled because she knew that here would always be her home.
When Lenore finishes, the hall is silent. Pete, very moved by his daughter's story, rises immediately to his feet. He begins to applaud loudly, the only one in the hall. The judges look at him with disfavor. But then Sadie applauds and stands, and Connie and Miss Walker stand applauding, and then others, and finally the whole hall is on its feet applauding. Even two of the judges give polite applause. Connie, Miss Walker, and Sadie smile at Pete. Pete looks only at Lenore. Pete and Lenore, with tears in her eyes, look at each other and smile meaningfully at one another.